The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your mega pod for the Houston Open. Storylines, matchups, expert picks, and one and done coming at you. Joining me to break it all down, I've got Mark Immelman. Hey, Mark.
What's up, boys? Quick update here from Georgia before I head to the Houston Open this morning. It was a very bright morning, 35 degrees Fahrenheit, though, so in Georgia.
Oh, boy.
Jelly right now. Sort of things drying out a little bit. You can get a little brown in the grass. So hopefully by next week, if the weather obliges, we should have a really good golf course.
All right. We'll keep an eye on it. And Kyle Porter joining us from the new Digs KP. What up?
Yeah. If you're on YouTube, get a little bonus look at the new content shed. It'll be set up here in a few weeks, but happy to no longer be nomadic. Mark, bring your Zach Johnson big mitts for the Masters because we're going to need them. It's going to be chilly.
The beauty about my job when I'm there is I stay in a little box that's not very much bigger than this doing Amen corner coverage. So I'm sure I'll be quite cozy inside. But I'll get the golf course updates from you because I know you'll be out there, right?
I'm going to be running around. It's going to be awesome.
Okay, cool.
That's a good visual, imagining Kyle Porter running around Augusta National all week. But before we get there, go ahead, Mark.
Stuff you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to run on the ground.
Yeah, I should have said walking around.
With his head on a swivel, just trying to take it all in all at once. Before we get to Augusta, we're headed to Houston for the Houston Open, the PGA Tour, the final tune-up before the Masters next week. And we get a municipal course, Memorial Park Golf Course, which, Mark, I think this is so interesting, right? Not only did Tom Doak do the redesign in 2019, but he got help from Brooks Koepka. I was like, you know, reading, I was like, this is kind of interesting.
Yeah, typically the players start getting into course design when they're sort of into their 40s and beyond. We've seen Tiger being involved in some, but Brooks is still at the forefront of his career and getting involved in golf courses. And I did find it amusing. You know, I looked through some of the golf course notes in preparation for this broadcast, and there are only 20 bunkers because Brooks Koepka thought that bunkers are not real defense for players. And then the original layout was something in the 7,200-yard range or so. And Brooks is like, nah, that's not going to work with a modern-day golfer, so let's expand this thing. So it's 7,400 yards plus. It's set up to have an exciting finish from what I understand from Tom Doakes. He said that he watched the players, you know, many moons ago, and he just loved the excitement and the fact that the finishing stretch of holes, you could see any number of lead changes. So it's exciting to see. I caught up with Russell Henley, who's in Tanya the other day, and he normally plays well at this event. And he was like, man, I used to love going to this event, but I don't know what's going on. So everyone's looking forward to seeing what Memorial Park is like.
Yeah, I think a quote I read was that this is set up for entertainment or something like that. Like they expect fireworks here, KP. I think it might be low scores. There's five par fives, five par threes, and we've got some big names in the field, which we'll talk about. But yeah, first year at this course, it was used back in like 13 times between the 40s, the 50s, and the 60s, but obviously nothing recent for Memorial Park. And this is obviously going to kind of be portrayed as your final tune-up heading into Augusta, right? All the big names using it to get ready. Some guys we'll talk about more in depth in a second, but this is not only is there a lot on the line this week, but of course, much more on the line next week.
Yeah. It's kind of a throwback to, I guess, 3 years or 2 years ago, whenever the Houston Open was right before the Masters. Did I cut out?
No, you're good.
Oh, okay. It said my connection was unstable. it's kind of a throwback to when a few years ago in the Houston Opens, right before the Masters, I was reading about this course on Monday and I'm really excited for it. I think it's cool when the tour goes to Muni, to public courses, and they don't do it a ton. We got Torrey Pines, which is obviously, Torrey's a little different because I think it's more like Pebble, and then it's more like national, like this kind of nationally known thing. And Memorial Park is, while it's well known in Houston, it's not nationally well known. And I think it's great to be able to go to places like that. I read Sean Martin of PGAtour.com had a really good thing on it. I think he played it a few weeks ago and it looks great. I think Tom Doak does good stuff, does good work. The Koepka thing is interesting because he doesn't seem like somebody who cares about golf course design. Like he seems like somebody who shows up and is like, whatever, man, I'll play whatever course is out here. And so it's odd that he would be kind of involved, but overall I'm super excited for this, not only for the Masters tune-up, but also just to see some good golf on a Muni course in Houston.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the greens fee for this place is like $50. It's like it's got to be like the cheapest tour stop. If you want to play a course that the pros play, here's your chance. Here's your cheapest opportunity. Yeah. So pretty cool stuff. I do love it when the tour gets to public courses and gets to munis. The big storylines heading into this is I think Mark is going to be the return of Dustin Johnson. Right, he's the number one player in the world. He's been absolutely unstoppable. Sidelined after testing positive for COVID-19 a couple of weeks ago. And, DJ might have played Houston, even if he did not test positive, but you wonder what the routine is for him and how it's been shaken up over the course of the past couple of weeks as he's leading into, a Masters that he obviously wants to find a way to contend and win.
Yeah. Well, along the Dustin Johnson lines, Adam Scott is coming back after the COVID break as well, because he tested positive. So you've got two players who you would expect to contend at Augusta National in the same sort of a vein. So they come down to Houston. From all accounts, the golf course seems like it's going to let you drive the golf ball because it's wide open, it's long. So it's playing into someone like Dustin Johnson's hands. And I don't know. I haven't heard anything. Perhaps, Kyle, you can comment, if Dustin's been well enough to practice while he was locked down or whatever the case might be. But it really boils down to that. It's like, how many reps have you had during your time that you were off? Were you able to? Is your body strong enough? I don't know what the severity of his symptoms were, but I'm expecting, with Dustin being a pretty healthy guy and Adam Scott too, that it wouldn't have been one of those things where perhaps he was bedridden and really down for the count. So for Dustin, the beauty about this all is that his confidence level was off the charts. When things were locked down for him, he was playing beautifully. It just looked like whenever he teed it up, 68 was par. And that's exactly what he's going to be looking for. Maybe not this week, but certainly next week in Augusta, Georgia. If you do 4 of 468, you're styling. In fact, if you do 469s, I think you're in tremendous shape. So I think for Dustin, if with the confidence still being high, if the lockdown wasn't so bad, if he's feeling sharp, I think he'll just hop right back into saddle. Because I'm expecting the golf course will sort of be receptive. It'll let him drive the ball, which is what he does. So there'll be a comfort level there that I think will stand him in good stead.
Well, odds makers are not too concerned about it, Kyle. They've got him listed at 7.5 to 1. He is the betting favorite this week. I guess you can't really install him at anything longer than that because you might get burned, but I was still pretty surprised to see this level of confidence, because we've seen, I'm trying to think of some other guys who tested positive for COVID and had to come back. A lot of them came back pretty rusty. I think Tony Finau was probably the only one who notched like a top 15 in his first start back, something like that, but we've seen a lot of rust from these guys. Obviously it's case by case, obviously it's player by player, but odds makers are not going to get burnt if Dustin Johnson wins this week.
Well, it feels a little like that. You know how we talk about how DJ is the guy that, we haven't seen him in a year. He comes out and shoots 65, 66.
Yeah.
It feels like that's a little bit of what's going on. And yet we also have seen him, we've seen it happen this year. He shoots 78, 79. So that feels a little like, hey, we have no idea what is going to happen, kind of line. But yeah, I don't know. To Mark's point, I think Finau it sounded like Finau was more kind of down and out health wise than maybe DJ has been. I haven't heard a ton about DJ. Finau seemed like he was kind of out of it for a little bit, maybe a week or so. And then somewhat ironically, he's the one that bounces back the best and played well at was it Zozo that he finished T11?
That sounds right.
I think that's right. So, yes. You know, I think the thing that I think about with DJ, he feels a little snake bit when it comes to the Masters, right?
Yeah,
so
right.
He falls down the stairs 4 years ago, whatever happened. I have no idea. I mean, the stuff behind the scenes on that, you're like, okay, guys, let's chill out. I know that didn't happen, but what actually did happen? And then this, he's playing great. Like Mark said, finished strong at the US Open, had like the quietest, whatever T6 ever. And then he doesn't get any reps before the Masters. And it just is, that's a place where he should thrive. And he really, you know, I know he finished T2 last year, but it doesn't really feel like he's been in it really late on a Sunday ever. Again, even though I know he finished one back of Tiger last year. So his relationship with the Masters is very strange to me, but it's something that I think is one of the bigger storylines going into next week.
You may file this under the, he's stating the obvious file here, but you know, you guys talk about the strokes gained off the tee thing. When you drive it like Dustin Johnson does, you know, even if you're a little rusty, you're going to get your share of scoring clubs into greens. And even if he's a little off, Dustin Johnson's going to hit a wedge to in 20 feet or so. So the number of birdie attempts he's going to get is going to be pretty good if he just puts himself in play off the tee and he doesn't have any of those wide balls, which cost you strokes. So if he drives the thing anywhere good, he'll have some scoring clubs in his hand, even though this golf course is long. And so then he's stacking odds in his favor. And you know, whether you've been out for 6 weeks or 6 days or 6 months, you know, these guys are good enough if you put a wedge in their hand. They're going to get themselves opportunities. And then it becomes a putting contest, which it sounds like this place is going to be. So he's got 5 par 5s. Already he's feasting over there because he's, I don't know the length of them all, and I'm keen to see how it plays out on Thursday morning in the first round. But it's all shaping up for me right now for a guy who hasn't played, sure, but he's going to a golf course. If ever there was going to be a place to come back to, it would be this sort of setup from what I understand. So I think he'll hit the ground running, and I think it'd be an awesome tune-up for Augusta, Georgia.
4 consecutive top 10s at the Masters for Dustin Johnson. Kyle, I want to get to matchups. I want to get to all that stuff, but I want to mine just a bit into a comment you made. And I don't even know what to, I don't want to live in a world where Dustin Johnson has one major championship. Like, yeah. I just think it's crazy. And you're right. He's been a little snake bitten and just like, that to me is so nuts that I need him to win 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 more. I can't be here with one major championship for him.
Yeah. It's a little bit of a disservice to his legacy, which is as one of the, I think one of the more talented guys ever, which I don't know, maybe Mark can comment on that as well. Just you watch him and you're like, this is insane. Like, this guy's unbelievable. And so winning Oakmont is, I mean, obviously the guys that have won there, it's really incredible. But you know, for him to add an Augusta, or I'm trying to think of where they're going over the next couple of years, even like a St. Andrews where he opened like 65, 66 in 2015, I think, whenever Zach Johnson went on to win, it might've been in 20, was that right?
15.
Yeah. And then he just falls apart over the last 2 rounds. I agree with you. I think it does a disservice to his legacy to only have had one major. And yet it also kind of tells the story of DJ, right? Of like, you know, he has struggled at times in big moments and he has had things go against him in big moments. But here's the thing, like, think about how many guys, I think I saw something on like where Phil only had 1 or 2 majors at DJ's age right now. And then he goes on to win 2 or 3 more at sort of the end of his prime, which DJ is getting close to in terms of like, hey, we're in the last 3 or 4 years of DJ's prime. I don't know if he's quite there yet, but we're getting toward that range. And I don't think it's unreasonable to think he could win 2 or 3 more over the next 5 years.
Yeah, if I might build on that real fast, Rick. The first time my attention was drawn to Dustin Johnson was in 2009. at the Masters when I was there working with my brother, who was the defending champ. And should have had a decent opening day. I think it was like 70 or 69 or something like that. And then Friday, if memory serves me, it was a little scrappy. So we're on the green in the afternoon. And it was one of those Masters where it was dry, it was firm, and the greens had that purple hue to them. And we're on the green just working hard, you know, Friday afternoon for hopefully a weekend run. And so I'm watching the big white board to sort of figure out what the cut's going to be, because Trevor's sort of around that even par number or whatever it was. And so I walk up to the hill, I look down the fairway, and I see a tall, lanky dude. And I look over the board that says through 17, and there's D Johnson and someone else. Dustin was like 100 yards from the green, and I thought this dude had pitched out. No, this was his tee shot down there, and he whips it onto the green a few feet, shoots the easiest looking 68 I've ever seen on a blustery, difficult day. And that's when I was like, from what I've heard, because I hadn't seen him play, this guy's for real. So I recount that story to say, to Kyle's point in your question about Dustin Johnson and the major championship record, he's gonna have chances. He's gonna have better chances at certain venues. Next week is one of those venues. You know, there are just certain golf courses that are going to suit him better than others. And so if we get a few of those over the next few years, kind of like we saw with Phil, you know, maybe even with David Duval, you know, also didn't have for the longest time, you know, Duval got his one, Phil got his handful. I think with Dustin Johnson, it's just a question of the golf courses that suit, and is he playing well going in there? So I think for Dustin taking advantage next week, I think it's crucial this week to get four good rounds in.
Real quick, think about how much, I don't know if it's luck or just fortuitousness that plays into some of this stuff. You know, Brooks Koepka is injured the last couple of years. Well, what if he's injured during the 2019 PGA? DJ wins by four or whatever. Spieth, I think, finished third. Not to bring him up. But and then even last year at the Masters, like Tiger kind of runs into this string of good health and ends up winning the Masters. Well, if he's not healthy at that time, and these are guys, Koepka and Tiger, that have been injured a lot over the last 3 or 4 years. And unless that, you know, their good health coincides with that time, DJ might have two more majors just over the last year, you know? And so there's just so much luck and happenstance and everything that plays into it. But ultimately, Rick, you're right. Like DJ's talent level, his career, it should result and end up resulting in more than one major.
We're going to keep a close eye on everything moving forward. Obviously, we'll sweat the return of some COVID tests this week and see if anybody, because if you test positive this week, you're probably out for next week as well. So we'll sweat that moving forward. But gentlemen, we've got to get to matchups. We've got expert picks, one and done, and best bets on the other side. First, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Did you know more than 75% of Americans will experience foot pain in their lifetime, but only 10% will seek out a solution for that pain? Spoiler alert, your feet don't have to hurt. And I know foot biomechanics can be complex, but solving foot pain should be simple. It's a signature orthotic shape of the super feet insoles that give you the comfort and support where you need it the most. It redistributes and reduces stress and strain on your entire body. Think about those long walks on a golf course and how uncomfortable your feet can get. Well, they don't have to. And Superfeet has helped millions of people worldwide experience the life-changing magic of comfy, pain-free feet. When your feet feel good, so do you. It is one of the most important parts of your overall health and well-being. And for a limited time, Superfeet is having its biggest sale of the year. Go to superfeet.com to save 25% off site-wide and get free shipping. Hurry, sale pricing ends June 5th.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
And we're back. Matchups. Now, you gentlemen were not here on Sunday evening, so I'll just let you know you're looking at the defending belt holder. Okay. So Thank you very much. That might be my first all season long, but I'm rocking and rolling now. So let's jump right into this. I've got five matchups for us this week. Brooks Koepka -120 versus Scottie Scheffler. Very interesting. -105. Kyle, we will start with you.
I like Scheffler. I've been picking Scheffler for the last 2 months or so. And he ran into a couple of pretty average tournaments for him. I think he missed the cut at, was it Sanderson, Rick?
Shriners.
Okay, missed the cut at Shriners. Didn't play great at Sanderson.
Right.
But I'm still in. I believe more in him than I do in Koepka right now. And maybe that's incorrect. Koepka might win the tournament this week, but that's just sort of where I'm at with those two guys.
That stretch you're referencing was right after he returned from his positive test. He played much better at the Zozo Championship, started to look more like himself. I'm with you, Kyle. I'll go with Scottie Scheffler as well. Mark Koepka or Scottie Scheffler?
Respectfully, Brooks's only endearing quality is that he knows what the golf course looks like this week. I'm still not convinced as to the health, what the game's like. And you've got Scottie Scheffler, a Texan in Texas, and the boy's got lots of games. So I'm going with Scheffler.
Mark, are you not at all optimistic by watching him go 7-under through 8 holes on Instagram the other day?
I must have missed this. Tell me the story. I didn't see what was. The questions there.
A very casual Q&A with his fiance girlfriend Jenna Sims answering questions. He was playing golf as they were going, and he looked great. But hey, everybody looks great in shorts at your home course and all that stuff.
I thought his insights were entertaining. I didn't realize he was playing golf at the time, because every clip I saw, he was driving the cart, sort of, you know, answering questions in a very pithy manner.
he does seem to drive a little reckless for my liking, but hey, he's Brooks Koepka, can do whatever he wants. We'll phone in and get Greg's. We'll get Greg's picks for this so we can have him on the record as well. Next up, Sung J.M. -125 versus Doc Redman +100. This is like putting my two children against one another. Kyle, I don't know. I'm going to make you go first.
Yeah, I'll go Doc. You got value here. He played great until the final round. I think it was the final round last week. So I'll go with Doc over Sungjae.
Yeah, he was the 54-hole leader last week. Continues to strike the heck out of the ball. I'll also take Doc Redman. Mark, Redman or Sungjae?
Isn't it a rule that you have to take Sungjae on this podcast?
it is, but the only guy that might break it is Doc. It's like, this is a really tough one for me. Producer Jacob is just twisting the knife right now.
I saw that. And by the way, don't think I wasn't thinking for a while last week about the Rick Gaiman mustache deal when Doc Redman had the 54-hole lead. I was thinking about this because I'd agreed to this too, and I made the mistake of picking against him. You're going to fool me once, you're not going to fool me twice. I mean, I think he was more tripped up by some of those crazy winds we had over the weekend in Bermuda than anything else. So the boy's playing well. He's hitting it good. Doc Clems. I'm going with Doc Game. I'm getting all confused. Doc Redman.
The Clem. I told my wife about the Doc stash, and we actively root for Doc Redman in this household, but she was actively rooting against him on Sunday, knowing what would happen if he held out for victory. Next one. Dustin Johnson is a massive favorite at -175 versus Hideki Matsuyama at +138. Mark, I'll start with you on this one. DJ or Hideki?
I have absolutely no idea. You know, with Hideki, you know, he hits it so well, he's going to get opportunities. But even though he's been working hard on the putter, it tends a little suspect at times. DJ, he could just find form right away with the way he hits it, you know, make a bunch of birdies on a golf course that's got 5 par fives. So I guess I'm talking myself into Dustin Johnson right now.
It is weird. You know, Hideki's floor has been fairly high over the course of the last couple of months. He's got, like, I don't know, 8 straight top 30s or something like that, a bunch of top 25s in there, but there's still something that, you know, I don't know what DJ's been up to. The raw talent, you know, turning golf courses into par 68s is a great example. All those par fives out there. I'll take DJ here as well. Kyle, Hideki or Dustin?
I'm going to go with Hideki. I don't know why I like Hideki this week for some reason. He hasn't really been top 10 and he hasn't honestly, like he hasn't been performing that well compared to kind of what his, you know, baseline Hideki is. But I think you're getting some value there because there's unknown with Dustin Johnson. And so I think, you know, because we haven't seen DJ since Wingfoot, I don't know what we're getting. You know, I think I kind of know what we're getting with Hideki. So I'll take the value and go with him.
I would not be surprised to see DJ open 63-63 or 80-80. Like neither of those things would surprise me one single bit, right? Like it's nuts right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tony Finau -133 versus Victor Hovland. I'll go first here. I think that Tony Finau has been playing great from tee to green. There's a couple of finishes that he's had in the restart that you could cite as disappointments because he's been in contention so often, but he's going to be able to hit driver probably every single hole that he wants to around here. There's a couple of long par threes. There's a bunch of par fives. I will take Tony Finau over Victor Hovland. Mark, what say you?
Finau. I have no doubts. I have no doubt about Tony Finau right now. I think there's big things on the horizon. I've just got the sense, you know, it always looks like he's just bubbling underneath the surface, but I think the time is now. I think the iron is getting hot and it's time to strike.
Oh, this is music to my ears for later. KP, Tony Finau or Victor Hovland?
Well, I had no doubt. And now Mark is scaring me with his rhetoric here. I'm going to go with Tony Finau and we'll talk more about that in a minute.
It was a very confident, like Mark usually doesn't say now's the time. I have no doubts. This is very, I was like, I'm a little nervous now.
Remember I had a conversation with Mark Brody the other day. So I'm just kidding. He's just always there and he's one of those like a McIlroy where you'll shoot 69, not really breaking a sweat.
Yeah.
I think you've got a golf course this week that's going to play into that. It's designed for birdies and his production from that point of view is insane. So it's time.
Here is our final matchup bet. And this was very interesting because both of these guys opened up at 16-1, which was surprising to see them at the same odds. Now they're drifting a bit, but Tyrrell Hatton is -133 versus Russell Henley at +105. And KP, I know this is the Russell Henley Open, but that's all not this course, not here. This is somewhere new. So I'm not sure I'm willing to pay for Houston Open Henley at Memorial Park.
Yeah, that's a good point. And yet he also finished top six in his last two events.
He has four top tens in his last six.
Yeah. And the last two, the CJ and the Zozo, were kind of major like fields. So I'm more riding that. He's one of the three. I think there's three guys that it's kind of crazy. They're not in the Masters. It's him. It's Berger and it's Victor Hovland. I think it's probably those three that you're like, wait, they're not playing Augusta. I love Henley here. I'm gonna ride the kind of the run that he's been on, even though Tyrrell Hatton, as you like to say, has been on just as good of a run, and he's been winning more. So I think it's a tough matchup, but I'll go with the value with Henley.
It is incredibly intriguing what these guys have been doing, and now they're pitted against one another. I took Hatton here. Hatton here. I think that you know, we might be at critical mass for Henley. He's either just like I don't know four top tens in his last six. I don't know how sustainable this is, and I think you're paying for the history. Mark, settle this for us. So we've got Kyle on Henley. I'm on Ty. You can pick Hatton or Henley.
I'm torn. Yeah, I'll be honest with you, but I have the benefit of some insider trading.
Whoa.
I was practicing at my golf facility yesterday afternoon, and I saw him the day before at the golf course around the corner, Green Island, and he has got the thing on a string right now. I got to tell you, I was watching him at golf balls, and it was that sort of situation when a golf swing is just uninterrupted and unencumbered, and it's from back to through rhythms, great ball striking's great ball was like raw spaghetti, and he putts well. And so I'm thinking about this going, this is a no-brainer. But what he said to me, he's like, man, the Houston Open was my jam. but now they've moved it to a different golf course. So there's that little undecided there. And I just cannot get my eyes off Tyrrell Hatton right now. You know, I watched him win at Bay Hill. It was impressive. I was amused by it. For Kyle, this was a watershed moment in his view of Tyrrell Hatton, and I cannot take my eyes off him right now. So Henley's playing great, let me tell you, but Tyrrell Hatton for me over here, I'm going with the Englishman.
All right, that's a really good one. Can't wait to see how that plays out. Time for picks again. We'll get Greg's picks. Producer Jacob tweets all this stuff out at First Cut Pod with our picks for the week and on Instagram as well. So make sure to check it out. Let's start with sleepers, gentlemen. And Mark, this I really like your sleeper that you have listed here. Who is it?
Yeah. Well, there's a little theme here. If you look through the list, if you are looking at the rundown right now, I'm going with H's this week in Houston. Okay, so I'm being a little alliteration there. But I've been watching James Hahn play of late. And he's also one of those guys you just like to watch because he's got a beautiful golf swing and he hits the thing nicely. But he sort of plays well in stretches, then he goes away. Then he comes back and then he goes away because there's just always some new swing theory he seems to be tinkering with. And he's been really sharp over the last few events. He's had a number of top tens, I believe. And whenever I turn around, I see his name near the top of the leaderboard. So I think James Hahn in Houston would be a worthwhile sleeper.
He's also got like three top tens in a row. He's in every event he's played this season. So he's certainly playing well at the moment. KP, your sleeper is?
Well, Mark and I agree. James Hahn.
Wow.
Yeah. I was looking at his numbers and the three top tens in a row, they're a little spread out. Like it goes back to Safeway and you're like, wow, that was kind of a long time ago. But he's been hitting the ball really well. Like his numbers over the last 3 months, he's been better from tee green than Tony Finau has, which I think Finau has been pretty good. So, 60-1, he's somebody who wins, right? Like he won Riviera, he won Wells Fargo. Those are legit tournaments. And I think there's win equity there at 60-1.
I want to build on that real fast. I didn't get it in when I was talking about James Hahn, but one of my announced colleagues, Ian Baker Finch, when he was calling that Riviera event, James won on the 12th hole, the par three, he won on the par three on the back nine. I think it was like 13 or whatever. And it was Finchie's hole. It was 12 or 13. I can't remember what it is. Mm-hmm. And he knocks the putt down to beat DJ and Baker Finch goes, Hahn, James Hahn. And now we've had Sean Connery pass away this week. So perhaps it's my little 007 nod there as well.
Hahn, James Hahn. I love
it. Good.
Yeah, that's strong. I'm going to use that this week. I'm stealing that. I took Denny McCarthy. We've been tracking this trajectory of improved iron play and ball striking since the 3M Open. We did get confirmation. He's been working with a new coach. So things are progressing nicely. He's still rolling the rock. He was 80-1 when I saw him. I don't know what he is now, but Denny McCarthy seems like he's primed for a win here shortly. So I'll take him as my sleeper. We'll move to top 10. Mark, continue the H trend for us.
Well, I was talking about him earlier and just raving about how the way Russell Henley was playing. And I think he continues along in that vein. The ball striking is there. He's a tremendous putter. And if there was an Achilles heel, it was always a wedging game. In fact, he said to me there were one or two events before that where he's been in contention where if he could have just hit a wedge on the green, he felt like he would have won. Now that 100 to 140 yard range or so, he seems to have ironed out. So I think Russell Henley continues the good play and jumps and grabs another top 10.
Kyle Porter, your top 10 is?
it's also Russell Henley.
You guys.
Did you edit my article, Mark?
No. I did this. I'm not reading your stuff anymore. I'm boycotting for a little while.
Boycotting?
That's aside. No, I kid. No, I hadn't read any of your stuff. I got on. Yeah. And I was so proud of myself, incidentally, because ordinarily I haven't looked at the rundown before we go on yet. But I was on early and I looked through there and I looked through the field list and I just Henley jumped up off the page at me.
Hey, what was your biggest takeaway from Mark Brody, the strokes gained stuff?
I love the fact that, incidentally, for the folks listening, I had a conversation with Mark Brody for my podcast the other day. And so I reached out to my strokes gain buds over there and I said, do you have any questions? So I asked him some questions, but I loved his take. he said to me that, you know, power off the tee is one thing, but it's really not the, it's not as big a separator as what people think it is. And he kept on talking to the iron game and putting well inside of 8 feet. Mm-hmm. And then we talked about, you know, he's been working with models on the strokes gained metrics to differentiate, you know, an 8 footer downhill right to left at Augusta National is not the same as straight back up the hill kind of deal. So he is working on that, but it's just so much to bear in mind with topography and stuff. It's hard to work into a huge platform like PGAtour.com. So I was emboldened at that because you guys know, in fact, I'll be honest with you. He texted me and he said, we need to talk because apparently I think you have issues with strokes gained. And I'm like, no, I don't. I just feel like you can't be too generic in just tossing some strokes gained statistic at any argument that you make. And he said, look, I'll agree with you. And then I threw the example at him going, you know, I could be crosswind with a 6-iron in my hand and I'm in contention and I might hit the ball to 40 feet, which is fantastic. But some dude in the morning at 8:45 a.m. has got the shot without the wind on greens that are unfirm. And you can't compare those. And so he absolutely acknowledged that. And he said that that's what they're working toward. He's already done presentations on the stuff, you know, adding topography to strokes gained because the only separator right now is distance. So he's trying to add other elements in there. And I feel like the more he does this, the more it'll become, it's great now, but just really viable. So it was a fun conversation.
Strokes gained version 2 is gonna be lit.
I think it tells a story. It doesn't tell the entire story, which I think is what Mark is always speaking to. And I think that's so beneficial. But the story it tells about Russell Henley over the last 50 rounds on Data Golf is that he's the best iron player in the world. And I don't think that Russell Henley actually is the best iron player in the world, but over the last 10 to 12 events, he's been playing like it. So I've got him as my top 10 lock this week in Houston.
I took Mackenzie Hughes. So I'll stick with the H theme here. I just think he's one of these guys. He's got like 7 top 15s in his last 15 starts. He pops up. There's some kind of weird little collection areas and closely mown areas around these greens in Memorial Park. He's a short game specialist. I think he's just the value on him to finish in the top 10 is too good. And now it's time to turn our attention to picks to win. I'm going to start with Mark because Kyle and I have the same winner. So go ahead, Mark.
Well, I'm glad that Kyle and I aren't doing the same thing. I about the H theme. Well, I'm going with Hatton in Houston. I think the way he's playing by the looks of the golf course, you know, every so often he tends to hit a bit of a one wide ball. And he's proven he can win on tough places in Bay Hill earlier this year when it was very difficult out. It was a demanding track. He's contended all over the place. He's playing great. He's coming in the other week before a major championship. You know, this is when a player of his ilk should accelerate. And I think, honestly, I would venture to say that he's the form player in the field. He's the high watermark, in my opinion. So he needs to pull it off.
16-1 for Terrell Hatton, according to our friends over at William Hill. KP, tell the world who's going to win this week in Houston.
I think Tony Finau is going to win this week in Houston. The PR curse is going to be broken.
That was Hunky Tony.
The Puerto Rico curse ends this week in Houston. I don't know. I feel like I pick Tony Finau like once every, you know, 3 weeks or whatever. And the reason is because he's one of the 8 best guys in the world. And so it has to happen at some point. It's a perfect spot for him. Not a ton of attention on it, especially with the Masters next week. He played great at the Zozo. He's really been, you know, I was looking at his numbers. His over the last 3 or 4 years, his iron game has improved a lot. It's not like numbers that are going to blow you away, but it's been steady improvement over time. And I think that's what you want to see from guys that, you know, are trying to win more, is just this steady improvement to where they just run into wins. And that's what I've seen from Finau. And I think he gets number 2 this week in Houston.
You're dead on. You took the words right out of my mouth. I did the math this week. 1,131 events played by the 11 Puerto Rico Open winners since their victory. They have not won another PGA Tour title. 1,131. Tony Finau snaps the curse, Mark. Yes, he does. He snaps the curse this week.
Yes, this is why I love to be around you, because it's only you, Cry, that would come up with a Puerto Rico curse. Now, every time you talk about it, I laugh about this. apparently, it's a thing. So I will capitulate and acknowledge that apparently there must be a curse. And look, Tony Finau, if anyone was going to break it, you know, he or there's been Hovland. Hovland certainly, I think, are highly likely to.
Yeah, if Finau or Hovland don't, it's in big trouble. It might last forever because the other names on this list are not great. All right, gentlemen, that I'll kind of spoil it. I mean, one and done. You know, I'm leaning Tony Finau. I think there are a couple of other interesting places to play him. You could play him at Waste Management. I think that's maybe a more natural fit, but I think we kind of nailed it. I think he's going to win. I think that there's question marks around other of the big name players like a Dustin Johnson or a Brooks Koepka, guys that I certainly want to hang on to. So I just kind of start, you know, pushing everybody else away, and Tony Finau stays there as a one and done consideration for me. Mark, is there anyone you're leaning to here on a Tuesday that you might drop into your one and done lineup?
Certainly. It's time for me to start making one or two proper picks. And it's always hard if you don't have golf course information, because I'm one that'll always sort of go with the horses for courses kind of thing. And Finau, I will definitely use later on in the season. But as I've watched Hatton, he's played well on all manner of golf courses over recent months. And it doesn't look like there's just one sort of place that he looks like he plays well. So we're going to a place that we don't know. And I'm quite content with Tyrrell Hatton knowing that he's likely to bring it on a golf course that no one's seen.
Kyle, you are currently in the lead, 1.6 million. You have a $125,000 lead. Your lean for this week's one and done is?
It's probably Finau. There's nobody else that, I don't know. Alonzo Griffin's been playing well. He's defending, but it's a different course. I love using Henley at the Zozo because you get away with using a guy that's not really a top 15 guy at a huge event. So I like doing that, but you can't do it too often. So I think I'll probably end up going Finau.
Best bets of the week. I'll go first. Greg has infiltrated my brain on Stuart Sink. So I'm going to roll with Stuart Sink to finish in the top 20. I can get 5.5 to 1 on my money here. He's got a win a couple of starts ago. He played well again in Bermuda last week. He just seems to find a way. Lots of good vibes with his son on the bag. So I'll take Stuart Sink to finish in the top 20. Kyle, I'll go over to you for your best bet.
Yeah. So there's these, I think we talked about this last week. There's these different groups that you can bet, right? So they each have six guys. This is on William Hill. And there's a group B that includes Mark's guy, Tyrrell Hatton, Sergio, Siwoo Kim, Wyndham Clark, and Denny McCarthy, your guy, Rick. And it also includes Scottie Scheffler. And I'm picking Scottie Scheffler to win that group. So there's six guys, and he's plus 333, so a little more than 3 to 1. Hatton's the favorite at plus 220, which he should be. He's been awesome. But I don't know. I keep going back to Scheffler. I think he's really, really good and maybe even a little underrated right now.
So what I love that William Hill does different than other sites is the group. So the groups on a lot of other sites will just be the top five players and then the next five players in the odds and then the next five. They actually spread this out a little bit. So you get in the same group that Kyle's referencing, Hatton at plus 220 and Denny McCarthy at plus 700. So there's like a big range and you're only trying to beat, you know, five other golfers. I like the way they do this. Mark, your best bet for this week's Houston Open.
You know me, I enjoy those where you like top nationality. And I see this There's six South Africans in the field: Finroyan, Fratelli, Schwartzel, Grace, my boy Hack Harding, Justin. His nickname's Hack because he grew up at the same course as me. He had such a good short game that, and he didn't hit the ball very well, so his buddies called him Hacker, and that became Hack, and now he's Hack Harding. And then Davy van der Velde. And I've been watching Charles Schwartzel play lately, coming back from injury. His golf swing looks smooth. He's hitting the golf ball well. The distance control is great. He's played a little bit, and he's put up some good numbers. So I think Schwartzel at plus 500 is a really good bet there, and I think he'll be the low South African.
Plus 500 on Charles Schwartzel for Mark. And gentlemen, we are going to forego the round-by-round recaps for this week. We'll still be around Sunday to break it all down, but we're going to continue our Masters content series. So if you're listening, if you want to inject some Masters stuff right into the veins, make sure you subscribe on YouTube and iTunes to make sure that you are getting all that information. Gentlemen, really appreciate it. Mark Immelman is available on Twitter at @Mark_Immelman. Kyle Porter, you can find at Kyle Porter CBS. You can find me at Rick Run. This has been The First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.
Hey everyone, this is Jimmy Conrad, your favorite former U.S. men's national team player and the host of the Call It What You Want podcast. And I'm here to tell you that Vuori is a versatile clothing brand that speaks my language. It's inspired from the coastal California lifestyle, just like me. Its products stand the test of time, just like me. And also just like me, it endeavors to inspire others to live vibrant, healthy lives. Vuori gear is designed to look great in everyday life while also being perfect for any workout activity. I'm currently rocking the men's Sunday performance jogger, and don't let the name deceive you. You can wear these babies any day of the week and in any situation. I'm talking going to the office, running errands, the gym, whatever your heart desires, because Vuori is an investment in your happiness. For our listeners, they are offering 20% off your first purchase. So get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/sports. That's Vuori.com/sports. Not only will you receive 20% off your first purchase, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Again, go to Vuori.com/sports and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.